Okay. Hey, I'm Rex Backman with Cisco. Welcome. Thanks for coming. Hope everyone had a good lunch. All I ask is you don't fall asleep during the session. Actually, we've got some really cool stuff here. Before we get going, though, I need to take a Twitter picture here, so bear with me. It's all about social media these days. Let me see what I can do. Get creative. Get creative here. There we go. Okay, perfect. Thanks for coming. I'm part of the Cisco Microsoft team. Some of you know Cisco and Microsoft are very, very good partners in the data center. Very good executive support from Satya Nadella on the Microsoft side, John Chambers on the Cisco side. And if you think back over your tech ed history, back to Atlanta, then Orlando, then New Orleans, and now here in Houston, you've kind of seen our messaging go. If you look at our shirts, we've kind of had this evolution of Got Server. We've been selling some of the really best servers around for the past 5 years, both blade and rack format. So we kind of educated everyone on Got Servers. And then we moved after that for a couple of years to Got Data Center as we had some integrated infrastructure solutions. And now we've got cloud. And what I wanted to do was bring up the awareness and introduce to you today three new technologies that Cisco's introduced in the last 9 months. They're all germane to the world of Microsoft. They apply to Windows Server 2012 R2. They apply to System Center 2012. They apply to Hyper-V. And they apply to Azure as well. And you'll hear from Matt, Rami, and Apogee, product managers each, on the areas of ACI, Invicta, and InterCloud Fabric, or whatever we're calling it today. Some really, really great technology. Microsoft is behind. Microsoft with Satya was a key launch partner for us in New York City in November at our ACI launch. Brad Anderson, who you heard speak yesterday, wrote a really great blog for us on Cisco InterCloud a few months ago. And our R&D teams are working really tightly together on bringing these solutions to market with strong integration into System Center, into Windows Server, support for Hyper-V, leveraging PowerTool, all good stuff. So that's the focus today. Stop by our booth and check out our other technology, our servers, our management integration through System Center, the private cloud solutions we have with NetApp and EMC, FlexPod, and vSpecs specifically. And at this point in time, I'll turn it over to Rami, who's going to talk to you about ACI, kind of one of the next great cool things around networking in the world today.
All right. Thank you, Rex. All right. So how many of you heard of ACI, application-centric infrastructure? By the way, Cisco people do not count. One, two, three, four. Okay, that's about a tenth of the audience, so that's good. So this is something that we launched about 6, 7 months ago. And I'm hoping by the end of the session, you'll get the understanding what ACI is about and how it can help you in the data center. So let's get right into it. So if you are an app developer or if you are managing an infrastructure, you're probably challenged with application management lifecycle. And this tends to be coming from different reasons, but probably the most prominent one that I will be focusing on and probably you're familiar with is the policy and automation. So when we speak of policy, we're referring to application policy. And the question is, how do you translate the application policy into the network infrastructure? Another poll question is here for you guys. So how long does it take you to bring and provision an application production? Days? One guy? Weeks? Two guys? Months? Okay, a few more. So it looks like there's obviously variations, and that could be depending on the organization, depending on the application complexity, depending maybe on the deployment size. But if anything I want you to take away today is ACI is designed from the ground up to shrink that cycle to literally to minutes. That's the end message. And I'll walk you through how this works. And I'll focus more specifically on the policy and automation part, because that's really the bulk of things, what's happening, and what's really putting a lot of pressure on IT organizations. Just a quick note on data center spending. Probably this is not something new to you. The bulk of it comes from operating the data center, and that's really coming from the managing and administering the virtual servers. So what does that mean from the network, the infrastructure perspective? It's really driving the demand to optimize the network, the infrastructure, not to just support the virtual environment, but also you'll have quite a bit of bare metals applications. So the end is, how can you have an infrastructure that can support both environments? And I'll walk through a little bit more of that. So when we speak of ACI, Cisco's ACI, application-centric infrastructure, we are talking, it's really based on three pillars or three elements. So the first element is the Nexus 9000. This is the hardware platform. This is the backbone for the core backbone for switching and routing, but it has a lot of built-in capabilities that goes beyond just the switching and routing. It's really these capabilities is to tackle the application delivery and the application requirements in your infrastructure. So some of these built-in, something around the real-time health scores, so anything to do with latency, packet drops, etc., you'll get that in real time. Visibility, traffic visibility in your infrastructure. So if you have to troubleshoot, it becomes a lot easier to do that. It has a built-in intelligence to load balance traffic. So you have certain SLAs you set up in your infrastructure, and you want to be able to deliver on that. So there's that built-in intelligence to load balance that traffic. But also, as congestion occurs in the infrastructure, it can figure out what is the best route to take. And also, as you know, you want to make sure the delivery of small packets do not suffer in the presence of large packets, because they tend to hug the wire. The second component is the APIC, Application Policy Infrastructure. And as the name implies, that's where the centralized management resides. That's where everything in terms of pushing down the policy into the infrastructure happens. It also, you'll see a circle around it in terms of different IT groups. So as these guys speak different policy languages, then how do you translate that and being able to push it into the infrastructure? So this is an element of APIC, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next couple of slides. And the third pillar, or the third element of when we speak of Cisco's ACI, is the ecosystem. We have today over 30 partners across different technology areas, because we know customers, they have a mixed environment. They work with different orchestration tools, automation tools, and so on. So you want to have an infrastructure that can work across that environment. And I'll touch a little bit more on that in the coming slides. Okay, so as you validated in my second question about how long it takes you to really bring and provision application production, you know, days, weeks, and months, and again, that's obviously taking a lot of time and resources, on organizations, what is the application policy here we're talking about? How does that work? So we created the concept that is called application network profile, and what you see on my left, top left. The application network profile, the concept of it is really to capture the application requirements from the network infrastructure perspective for an application. And so if we break it down, how does that look like? You typically have a group of, or a set of servers, VMs, and they typically share the same policy. So here in this traditional three-tier model, we have the web, we have the app, we have the database, and these groups share the same policy. We break these policies via contracts. So contracts is essentially is a wrap that we'll put around these different groups to set the rules and communications between these different tiers. And one thing about contracts is the ability to insert service chaining. So I can define a complex set of service chaining, layer 4.7, which is like firewall, load balancing, etc. And that can sit between the tiers. So if you look at this model, this is the logical model. This, obviously, these VMs and servers could be distributed throughout your infrastructure. This is the logical model how you can describe an application without being tied into an infrastructure. This is the foundation of the ACI policy model. So if we look at, if we take this a little bit further and talk about how this works, remember I said we created this concept called application network profile. Okay, and that captures the application requirements from the network infrastructure perspective for an application. Now I can, whatever granular level, I can define SLA properties, quality of service, firewall, load balancing, and here in this extensible model, I'm showing firewall ADC, application delivery controller, that sits in front of the web servers. I could have ADC that sits between the tiers. And now I can, once I create that, I can push this into my infrastructure. No matter where the application is, no matter if it's physical or virtual, no matter what the hypervisor type is, okay? And in this model, the beauty about it is I can now provision and deprovision applications much quicker. And as the VMs or applications move, the policy will follow. I talked about earlier the ACI model, the three pillars, and one of them was the ecosystem, the last pillar. So we have a northbound and a southbound programmable layers of the APIC, the Application Policy Infrastructure Controller. So the northbound of the APIC, through the OpenREST APIs, we talk to different tools. It could be automation tools, like Chef, Puppet, Ceph Engine, and so on. We talk to hypervisor management tools like Microsoft and others. We talk to orchestration tools, monitoring tools, etc. So this is done through the OpenREST APIs that we have in place. On the southbound of the APIC, you see here we talk to virtual switches. We talk to physical switches. We talk to layer 4.7 devices. And layer 4.7 devices here, firewall, load balancing, et cetera. And you can see the list here at the bottom, you know, some of the vendors that we work with today from the virtual switches and from the layer 4.7 devices. So we do this through OpFlex protocol. And you may ask, what is OpFlex? How does that work? And I think what we find out is sometimes it's good to give an analogy because to simplify the concept of OpFlex and how OpFlex really work with APIC. So the analogy here is the air traffic control system typically give directions or instructions to the pilot where to land, where to take off. Now it is up to the pilot to figure out how to fly the airplane. It is up to the pilot to figure out the speed. It is up to the pilot to figure out the flaps, the landing gear, etc. So in other words, the intelligence, it is sitting within the pilot, okay? So if we go back to our slide here and look at AlphaFlex and APIC, so APIC, the Application Policy Infrastructure Controller, is the same as the air traffic control system. It sends an abstract policy, a not device specific configuration to the devices. It is up to the devices to apply and translate these policies, okay? And AlphaFlex here is the framework for exchanging the policy, the abstract policy, between APIC and the devices. Again, the devices here, you could see on the screen, could be firewall, load balancing, virtual switches, and so on. So you see the AlphaFlex agent resides within these devices. Now, the beauty about this is the intelligence is distributed across these devices. Now, what does that give you is I can scale much easier. My scalability is, because the intelligence is sitting across the devices, then I can scale much easier. And also the resiliency is much better. And also, from ease of use, if I remove an application, all the policies and all the things integrated in my infrastructure will be wiped out, okay? And so no longer we have this concept of hanging ACLs. And the last piece of it, if you look at it from the interoperability point of view, any device that supports AlphaFlex, so again, the devices here could be layer 4.7 devices, virtual switches, physical switches, any device that supports AlphaFlex, they can connect to the APIC. So the beauty about that is the vendors of these devices, they can innovate, they can introduce new features, new capabilities, without worrying about adding new extensions back to the APIC, okay? The other piece is we submitted a draft to IATF last month. It was co-authored with Microsoft. Some of the things that Rex talked about earlier, the integration we have with Microsoft, some of the cooperation. So we submitted that draft, again, co-authored with Microsoft and others, to IATF. So here we're trying to make sure AlphaFlex is open with an open source reference. Any third party can come in and contribute to that protocol. So what are some of the things we're doing with Microsoft to kind of wrap up my session here? So we have APIC, Application Policy Infrastructure Controller plugin, integration with the System Center. So what that means is, once you instantiate the VMs in the System Center, you automatically, the network policies will automatically get pushed into the infrastructure. So what that means is, as you move the VMs, the policies move along with it. Second is, as moving forward or going forward, we will have also Azure integration. So now you can define the policies from Azure itself. And other works that we have going on is something called the Converge ACI stack. And what that means is we're targeting specific applications, SharePoint, SQL, Exchange. We're now, as you know, these applications, as you're trying to have different requirements, different nodes, so how can you make it much easier and faster to deploy in the infrastructure? So the integration is going to be providing you consistent policies across physical and virtual environment, because the ACI fabric is has its layered independence, meaning whether I have NVGRE on the physical and on the virtual layer, or VXLAN or VLAN on the physical, it's the tunneling layer is independent for the ACI fabric. So the end goal here, again, is for the end users to give them that consistent experience in the private and hybrid cloud. We have some resources that Rex will go through at the end, basically so we can learn more and how you can get involved from the developer point of view. With that, hopefully I gave you enough understanding what is ACI. We'll be here at the end of the session. Any questions, feel free to come by and we'll try to answer your questions. All right, now I guess pass the baton to my next speaker. Thanks.
Hello, everyone. All right. Oops, let's go the right direction. My name is Matt Goldenson, and I'm part of the new UCS Invicta world, which is, in the UCS space, we've sort of thinking about what UCS does well and does well from a user perspective. One of the things that we always like to think about is the speed with which you can create things, provision them, manage them, and hope you can hear me better. The impact that has on your production environments and the systems that you're deploying on them. So a few quick things. So Invicta is a persistent storage or a persistent media that is associated with the UCS chassis. So in a nutshell, basically we are concerned about a few things with respect to applications as they run on the UCS platform. So the three things we focus on are workload acceleration, and by that we mean those applications that you deploy on UCS that are time sensitive or time critical. Okay, those applications that need high bandwidth, low latency, fast I/O. The other thing that we focus on is the ability to reduce the amount of data or media, in some cases, that you're managing with respect to making an object stick around or remembered. So most applications write and read, and they do that with some persistence. So in order to reduce the impact of storing and retrieving things, often people did from an applications perspective was distribute that data across their storage platforms. And what we as a persistent media layer that operates in at an entirely different performance scale than typical storage is we allow you to keep fewer copies of it. So we eliminate redundant storage or redundant copies of data. The other thing to bear in mind is that the media that Invicta is made up is, being flash, has some entirely different behaviors and mechanisms underneath it than traditional hard drives. So there's some things that come along with that. So among the things that we consider are you get efficiencies at the data center layer, flash operates with lower power requirements, requires less cooling, and takes up less space. And most importantly, one of the behavioral aspects of the product is that there's less management overhead. And by that I mean, being flash media, you do not have to consider things like rotational latency, seek latency when you're creating the storage, and more importantly, the concept of shared spindles or data location goes away, because flash, being a logical address block method of storing data, or the way we've implemented it, you literally just never have to concern yourself with, is another application accessing a logically adjacent block, and what's the impact of that access on my application? So from a performance perspective, the benefits of that are pretty clear cut. So the Invicta series of equipment is, we have two things that we focus on. The first one is what we refer to as the appliance, and that is a single unit that handles both northbound, by that I mean connectivity to hosts, connectivity to the external connectivity layer and the management layer, and then southbound being the distribution of I/O across the underlying media layer. So interesting to note is the appliance is also a key feature of what we refer to as the scaling system. So the scaling system, we split the functionality between the lower level of storage management and the upper level of LUN management, masking, mapping, LUN creation, LUN destruction. And we handle that with what we refer to as a router. So what that gives us is the ability to provide a media layer, which is both scalable, modular, and that platform is a platform that will allow you to deploy applications in significant, with significant impact on the performance potentially that they're running on. So the scaling system is probably the more interesting one for me, only because as an architecture, what happens is you have the routers on top, which coordinate the information below it. And so the pieces that you get out of this are kind of interesting with respect to what you can do with them. So by that I mean, an appliance is a single pool of storage. The routing system will allow you to create multiple pools of storage, which will address the performance characteristics of the applications that you're seeking to deploy on them. So a little more, or a lot more flexible with respect to those kind of things from a capacity and performance layer that you would deploy on them. So the routers are connected via point-to-point technology at the moment, in between the nodes and the actual router itself. That technology is is evolving and will change over time. That's one of the benefits of being associated with Cisco. And so if you look at it, what I was implying was that the pools that you can carve out of the underlying nodes can take on the characteristics or support the characteristics of your applications that you're seeking to deploy. So performance nodes allow you to pool either horizontally or vertically. So I can extend, for example, if I need IOPS capacity beyond that of a single node, I can extend that LUN down into a second and or third node if I believe that the capabilities of or requirements of the application I'm attempting to deploy will require more than a single node. I can just extend it to all three nodes. The other thing that I get is this ability to do data reduction. So we refer to this as data reduction for the reason that we're right now in our early releases we are supporting dedupe. So what we do is we break the underlying data into 4K chunks and then do a hash on that and then calculate whether or not it exists. If it exists, we return a pointer. If not, we actually store the data. Other forms of data reduction will be coming along as well. So again, here's another way where we can extend pools of storage that are specific to data that you may want to dedupe in order to reduce the size or footprint of the data that you're storing. The other thing to point out is that you can mirror. So if you have high availability requirements or critical data that you absolutely have to ensure is available at all times, you'll have a primary on one node and a mirror to that on a second node, supported with all of the behaviors that you would expect, being the primary LUN goes away or the node goes away. You can simply access seamlessly the secondary mirror. Flexible. We have the ability to replicate in between appliances and scaling systems and vice versa. And finally, we give you the capability to do DR to any other open target. So essentially what we're doing is creating a snapshot that can reside on a Windows or system as well. And then you can mount that snapshot as well. So in kind of quick summary here, This is a bit of an eye chart, but I think what's important to note is that there is a whole pretty significant series of functionality that we apply with the media and that we can deliver. One of the things to bear in mind about Invicta as a platform in general for persistent media, and by that I mean as you're looking to applications that you're rolling out into a cloud environment, be it a private cloud or a hybrid cloud or public for that matter, what you recognize is that performance of the elements that are running in that cloud are critical. So while I may have some pieces that can respond to, say, media that would store data take more time to restore and write that data, other applications or components of my applications are much more time sensitive. So again, the key feature here of the Invicta series of products is that we allow you to keep data close to your compute. We allow you to keep fairly large volumes of that data close to your compute, so those things right now scale from somewhere around 184 terabytes of data in the performance mode to upwards of 350 terabytes in the dedupe mode. And again, that depends on how much your data winds up being deduped. Some data dedupes better than others. But the point is, again, that you have a large pool of data that you can both write to and read from in reasonably to extremely fast times. So that's the Invicta series. Questions? Right now, we connect either to the Fabric Interconnect and from there to your favorite set of switching environments. So we support basically block via Fibre Channel or iSCSI at the moment. So you have the option of going either way. Fibre Channel interconnects tend to be on the expensive side from a connectivity perspective, but it's absolutely understood that we could do either way. So, again, think of it as a pool of storage that's available to the UCS chassis, and in high bandwidth and low latency fashions. So, other questions? Excellent. Thank you. Oh yes. Yeah, that's absolutely coming. As a matter of fact, he's not here, but yeah, that's on the roadmap. So we're working on that. Sure.
Hello, folks. My name is Apaji Marda. I'm one of the product managers in the cloud virtualization group at Cisco. And over the next 15 minutes, I want to briefly talk about the Cisco hybrid cloud solution called Cisco Intercloud. We've been working with quite a number of enterprise customers as well as service provider customers over the last 6 years on developing private clouds or public clouds. And one thing that keeps coming up is the concept of hybrid cloud, where customers want to keep some workloads on-prem and some workloads in the provider's cloud. So for the enterprise customers, it's mostly a good, happy medium between a private cloud, the security, control, and compliance associated with a private cloud, and gaining all the benefits associated with a public cloud in terms of infinite capacity, as well as metered compute. You only pay for what you need or what you're using. So overall, hybrid cloud comes up quite a bit in our customer conversations. And here are two data points to outline that particular demand. On the left-hand side, there's a data from Gartner. Gartner surveyed about 400 customers, enterprise customers mostly, and asked them if they are willing to, if they have hybrid cloud as a part of their IT strategy. About 70% of these customers want to implement hybrid cloud by 2015. It's a pretty large number, very strong interest for this hybrid cloud overall as a solution. On the right-hand side is another survey from Forrester, where they're asking customers if they would be willing to try out infrastructure as a service in the provider cloud. Again, there's a very strong interest primarily to use as a capacity augmentation tool in the public cloud. So if it is so, if it's such a good, happy medium, why is it that customers are not willing to go to the next step of actually implementing these hybrid clouds, right? So one thing that keeps coming up, we have been working on this particular hybrid cloud solution for the past 3 years. One thing that keeps coming up is the security issue. People are very worried about moving their workloads, either data or workloads, to the public cloud. Right, they are worried about data at rest. If I move my data to the public cloud, somebody might get access to the data, and that can be sensitive information that can be detrimental to the company overall. And also, data in transit. I know that somebody is using a hybrid cloud, so I can tap into the network, access every information that's exchanged between these two clouds. So data in transit is another issue. And also, from a VM perspective, when you move your VM, if you're using a specific operating system, if there are vulnerabilities associated with the operating system, even if it is in the public cloud, some hacker, malicious user might be able to access your VM and then can create all kinds of issues for your hybrid cloud. So security is one of the prime reasons that customers, at least this is the feedback that we got from the customers. And the other next thing was a siloed infrastructure. Customers are a little worried about, especially the IT admins. They have these two parallel universes, one on-prem that they need to manage, and then the second, the public cloud. And there are different management tools, different monitoring tools, governance structure is not very clear, and different departments are directly charging the cloud provider. So overall, from a governance perspective, it's not very clear what needs to be done. So that's one specific problem area that customers were mentioning. And the third aspect is the complexity associated with moving these workloads. Especially the effort associated with trying out a hybrid cloud solution is too complex. You need to identify the cloud-ready applications. You need to identify what are the interlinkages between, what is the coupling between these different parts of the application tiers, and you need to identify which can go to the cloud, and then test it out. You need to change all the IP addresses, MAC addresses. You need to identify all the security policies. All of this takes a lot of time, and then you need to make sure you stage this environment in a specific place and tie it out for 6 months or 1 year before you can actually take it production. And it's possible after 1.5 years of this work, you realize that, no, maybe hybrid cloud is not for me. So trialability is extremely complex. That basically makes sure that customers are a little worried about taking this route. So we wanted to make sure that we address each one of these issues. We want to make sure we provide a very secure mechanism for you to move to the public cloud. We want to make sure that we provide a seamless mechanism for managing these different workloads across private and public. And we also want to make it easy for you to spawn into the public cloud and also take it back from the public cloud and move to another cloud. So that's basically our intent when we started about 3 years back after a lot of these customer conversations. So the traditional approach for hybrid cloud is requiring the customers to have a homogeneous environment with whatever the provider offers. Right, so if we are running a specific hypervisor on in the provider side, we want the same hypervisor on the on-prem environment as well. So there are quite a number of restrictions in terms of what you can do in the current hybrid cloud environments. But Cisco's approach is slightly different. We want to provide an open architecture where you can, as an enterprise, you can decide what you really want to do. And you have the choice of hypervisors that you want to take, et cetera. And also, we want you to try out different public clouds. We don't want you to stick with one specific cloud provider, right? So that's basically, that was the solution that we wanted to bring to the customers. A very open, flexible, and mostly secure infrastructure that can allow you to easily migrate to different public cloud vendors. So again, this is a solution that we built from ground up, and primarily with the end-to-end security in mind. And again, we wanted to make sure that it's easy for you to manage both your on-prem workloads and the off-prem workloads, or the provider workloads, in the same fashion from a monitoring perspective. For example, let's say you have security policies, a specific firewall that you use on your on-prem network. We want you to have the same option to use the same firewall for your provider VMs as well, whichever provider that might be. You can go to provider one today. Tomorrow, you might find that provider two is offering a better pricing. We want you to try that as well. So taking your firewall along with you from provider one to provider two, that's not possible right now. So we, at least from our solution, we want to bring that to you. Again, this allows you to, again, like I mentioned earlier, it provides you an open architecture where you can pick the hypervisor of your choice and the infrastructure of your choice on-prem, and also you can have a choice of any cloud vendor that you want to go to. So we are hypervisor agnostic and switch agnostic on the on-prem environment, and we are cloud agnostic on the provider end. So this particular product is available in two editions. For the one for the enterprise customers that want to try out the advantages of the hybrid cloud. And the business edition primarily comes with two elements. One is a portal whereby you can identify workloads that can be cloudified and then that can move to the provider of your choice. And the second element that comes with the business edition is a secure fabric where you can create the secure tunnels across your environment and multiple public cloud vendors, right? So those are the two elements that come with the business edition. And this is primarily for the enterprise customers that want to avail the use of both private and public environments. And for the cloud providers, again, a lot of cloud providers want to make it easy for customers to move to the public cloud because of various reasons. Customers are not willing to move to the public cloud. So a lot of our cloud provider customers, they want an easy way to allow their customers to extend to the public cloud. So if you're a provider cloud vendor, then we have something called a provider edition, which allows you to offer hybrid cloud services to your customers and also allow to add additional value-added services on top of what you already have. And the solution is built to make sure it addresses quite a number of the existing as well as future use cases. For example, in the case of DevTest, we are currently working with a mobile vendor where they come up with a mobile game. They don't know the exact demand that they will be that the game might attract. So they want to try out the dev test in the cloud, and they want to take it to production in the cloud. And then later, depending upon if the game really takes off, then they might use a provider cloud. If it doesn't, they want to keep it on-prem in their private cloud. So in those environments, you would need a way in which you can easily move between on-prem and off-prem data centers. So we are suitable for that. And also, we are working with multiple enterprise customers, especially the IT admins, who don't really have visibility into what's happening and into all the provider VMs that are out there. Right? So the individual departments directly go to the individual cloud providers, and they start buying VMs without the IT admin control. So in those cases, they want to provide an easy way to account each of these VMs moving to the public cloud, and we are very good for that particular solution as well. For the capacity augmentation use case, in some cases, where customers have these spikes in demand, in compute capacity, they want to go to the public cloud. For example, we are working with a legal office where their compute requirements are based on the type of case that they're handling. If, for example, if they're looking at a specific litigation issue where they have to go through maybe 100,000 documents and they need to search for a specific pattern, they might need 100 servers over a 3-day period. So, and after those 3 days, they don't need those servers. So in those cases, we want to make sure that at least we provide this capacity augmentation services as well, where you burst into the public cloud, and when it's done, you basically collect all the results and you shut those VMs. And the third, of course, is the disaster recovery, where you want to make sure you have that switch where, in case if something happens on your on-prem environment, you always have something to back up on. So we are suitable for all of these different use cases. And this particular slide just briefly talks about the provider segment, where if you're a provider and you want to make it easy for your customers to migrate to the public cloud, we offer something called a provider edition, which primarily consists of an appliance whereby, irrespective of what the provider is actually running, whether they're using OpenStack or Azure or Hyper-V, whatever it might be, if they want to extend hybrid cloud services to the on-prem enterprise, then you can have this appliance that can translate these, I mean, that can at least provide an abstraction for these differing environments. So it has three components. It basically has an abstraction adapter for a specific type of that's suitable for your environment. And then there's a translation logic that sits on top of it. And then the set of cloud APIs that you can offer to your enterprise customer. So those are the three elements. And of course, it's again open, so you can actually, it has open APIs through which you can program this particular platform the way you want and provide value-added services. So we have a very strong ecosystem of partners, both the service providers offering cloud services as well as technology vendors that are working with us to make sure, whether it be VDI workloads or different technology vendors we're working with to make it easy for customers to make this transition to the hybrid cloud. So that's all I have. I invite Rex back onto the stage.
At the enterprise side, does this require the, is it an extension of the Nexus 1000 architecture?
Actually, you don't need to have Nexus 1000V on-prem to use the intercloud, but it kind of utilizes the same principles. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Apogee. So that was technology speed dating from Cisco. Three technologies here: ACI, Invicta, InterCloud. We have each of those represented in our booth. I'd encourage you to come by and speak to Apogee, speak to Matt, speak to Rami. It's barely just scratching the surface, literally, in a 15 or 20 minute presentation. These are key technologies that you'll see drive and integrate into our Microsoft solutions. If you have UCS today, and Rami will probably kill me for saying this, but if you're familiar with UCS and service profiles, ACI's kind of bringing service profiles to the world of networking and incorporating that world up. What Matt talked about is all about application acceleration. And what Rami talked, what Apogee talked about is hypercloud management and portability. And again, it's all about choice. Cisco's giving you a lot of choice here. So, hey, Gary, can you grab the bag or work with Heather? Because we're going to give you hats. You sat through this. We're going to give you a Cisco hat. It's going to be fun. Some resources up here. Everybody gets a hat, as long as they last. Some resources here. Take a look. These decks are, available through the TechEd portal as well. If not, stop by the Cisco booth. All the experts are there. Also, talk to our other experts. We've got some Chris Shockey, one of our top field engineers, is here. He's been playing around with Windows Azure Pack. He's got some really interesting learnings there. Joe Martin is here. He's uber smart guy on PowerShell and PowerTool. We've got FlexPod and vSpecs represented as well. So we've got a lot of good people here for you to talk to. And related content, more information, complete an evaluation and win. This is my tech ed disclaimer. And evaluate this session. So again, thanks for coming. Again, three really good technologies supporting what you've seen us do over the last 5 years with UCS and Nexus. And we're continuing to provide you what we think is the optimum data center platform for your Microsoft workloads. It's an exciting time. We're working close with Microsoft. And questions? Start.
I have a couple of questions. The first question about the InterCloud. Is that, just looking a little bit under the hood, is it basically using OTV, extended layer 2 switching? Does that require?
I used to know how to code in assembly language. Now I don't. So I'll hand it off to Apogee, who is the product manager and actually knows what's going on.
No, it's not actually OTV. It's an extension of layer 2, your layer 2 data center network all the way to the public cloud, but it's not an it doesn't use OTV.
So it doesn't require Nexus OS type switches in-house for that?
It doesn't need any, it's switch agnostic on the on-prem. It's hypervisor agnostic. You can have any kind of hypervisor on-prem or any kind of switch.
Well,
it doesn't really matter.
That was my second question. You mentioned that you can take workloads from one public cloud to the other through the Cisco InterCloud.
Right.
The question is, so for example, if I have workloads on AWS and I want to take them
right
down to Azure or vice versa, these two typically don't communicate because the hypervisor is different, and you're going to have to convert virtual machines.
Right.
So how do you handle that?
Yes. I mean, so there are two parts to the business edition. One is the portal. We call it InterCloud Director, which automatically identifies the specific cloud provider formats, the elastic compute elements, or which capacity, let's say, an Amazon, let's say, mini might mean Azure something. And it does all the conversions associated with the compute capacity, as well as the image formats. All that is done automatically by the InterCloud.
Is there a downtime in the migration?
Yes, it's not live migration. It's cold migration, where you need to bring down the VM on the on-prem and then move it to the off-prem.
Okay.
There
Thank
is
you.
Yeah. So that element, live migration, again it brings quite a number of complexities, specifically associated with hypervisors. Right. So so at this particular point in time, it's primarily cold migration. You run your VM on-prem, and until it comes up on the provider end, and then bring down your on-prem VM.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. It's a pretty, very innovative technology overall.
Okay, any other questions? Did everyone get a hat? Got hat, got cloud. I like the picture. I was going to come take one, but you flipped your hat back normal. So anyway, hey, thanks. Come on by the Cisco booth. Again, we've got the subject matter experts here. They know what they're doing. We've got raffles each day, some Beats headphones, and the grand prize is a Surface Pro. So stop on by. Thanks, everybody.